Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 81, Text 37. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhaktaya Chitra Bhagavan Hi Sampado Rajyan Vibhutir Nasamartha Yatyajaha Nirdirga Bodhaya Vichakshana Swayam Pashyanda Patyam Daninam Mado Bhavan. To a devotee who lacks spiritual insight, the Supreme Lord will not grant the worldly opulences of this world, kingly power, and material assets. Indeed, in his infinite wisdom, the unborn Lord well knows how the intoxication of pride can cause the downfall of the wealthy. Purport, as explained by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti, the humble Brahmana Sudama considered himself unworthy of the Supreme Lord's most rare and valuable benediction, pure devotional service. He reasoned that if he had any true devotion, the Lord would have granted him perfect, unflinching devotion rather than the material riches and servants he had received. Lord Krishna would have protected a more serious devotee by denying him such distractions. The Lord will give us a sincere but less intelligent devotee not as much material wealth as he desires, but only what will promote his devotional progress. Sudama thought, a great saint like Prahlad Maharaj can avoid being contaminated by immeasurable wealth, power, and fame. But I must always be wary of temptation in my new situation. You understand that this humble attitude assured Sudama of Vibra final success in his execution of Bhakti Yoga by the standard process of hearing and repeating the glories of the Lord. Omigana Timarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Taksur Nutam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Apitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Sadati Sapadantikam Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Pashindu Vayevacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare So, greetings from the Bhakti Center. I'll be here for, I guess, most of the next week, giving classes here and within the city. Yesterday they had the 6-hour kirtan downstairs on the main. It was really wonderful too, because you're not only doing kirtan among your congregation, but so many people coming by, looking in and seeing Ananta Govinda and his family and all the other devotees just chanting so enthusiastically. And it's very, very attractive, because Kirtan embodies love. Kirtan is when the bhava, or the love within one's heart for God, is expressed. So that expression is an embodiment of love. And I think when it's done properly, it communicates that. Especially when the rag and the tal are at a certain reasonable standard to help invoke those emotions. So that was really, really wonderful. And just to, I got there about 7 and I stayed till about 10:30, but just to absorb yourself in devotion, in the holy name, for that level of time, it just works. It communicates that love to your heart. And satisfaction is that love. And when we don't have that experience rich within our heart, we tend to fall back down to the platform of judging our lives in terms of our enjoyment and control, which is generally very minimal. And when we have a glimpse of having it, fearful that we'll lose it, that's called the mental plane. When our thoughts and actions, our will, manifest from that false platform of relating to the world in that way. But as soon as you shift to the spiritual platform, then you can be satisfied in any circumstance. Because you really achieved the real objective, even of the material platform in one sense. It's just people are not cognizant. Well, really not in one sense, but you've achieved that satisfaction of heart, that's happy consciousness, that humble consciousness, that happy small. We have to be happy small because we are small, and if we're not happy small, we'll never be happy. And as soon as we leave the platform of humility and start looking at the world in terms of our own personal desires, exclusively as our objective and goal, then we become unhappy small. Anyway, we have this wonderful lila where this poor Brahmin implored by his chaste and destitute wife, because he's destitute. And in those days, the wife's position was the husband's position. I heard Prabhupada say that someone asked him, can a woman be a first class? And Prabhupada was describing that culture. Well, if the man was first class, and the wife was chaste, then she'll also become first class. And then some lady asked, well, can she become a temple president? Prabhupada said, yes. And then he went back to his point. But anyway, the husband was destitute, the wife was destitute, and the chaste wife, for the benefit of the husband, sent her husband, Sudama Vipra, to beg from his old schoolmate, who happened to be Lord Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and in the role of the king of Dwarka. And I think most of you have been following this, so I don't have to tell the whole story. But there's so many beautiful points. He had to bring something. He brought some just chipped rice, which he had to beg. You don't come empty-handed before God. The Vaishnava is always expressing love. And the best way to express love is with something in your hand to offer that embodies your desire to please. And Krishna is so satisfied with his offering, even though from a material standpoint it's very insignificant, it represents Sudama's love, which is the real platform of enjoyment, even opulence. If something comes nice out of love, we not only enjoy the object, but more than enjoying the object, we enjoy the love in which it was given. So here we see that standard by God, by Krishna. Even a little devotion is so satisfying. And when Sudama was hesitant to give that chit right, he was embarrassed. Look at Krishna. He's in the palace. He has so much opulence. I'm going to offer him just a handful of chip rice. But Krishna, knowing that he's hesitant, says, I don't know if this is Alzheimer's. What is this? How can I forget this verse? How can I forget this verse? Yome bhakta pyatsaritam apatat. Pushpam patram palam toyam. Yome bhakta pya. If you offer me a leaf, flower, water, I will accept it. I will accept it. Because I appreciate and want your love. And then Rukmini, when Krishna's about to get more, grabs his hand and says, no. Because if you're so satisfied with just one grain and you're offered more, you'll be so indebted to them that you may have to give me. So very, very interesting point. That one can't forget, whether they're in family or community, that all prosperity depends on God's satisfaction. That's why I always remember how Prem Kishore would take care of the cows with a kind of spiritual economics. That if Krishna is pleased, then things will prosper. And things will prosper. It's just like even a temple, you can't have a corporate structure of management, because a corporate structure of management, corporate meaning it's just with two people who were, you know, I use corporate in a good way, and they said no, they're in the corporate world, and corporate means that, or they said the corporate world is horrible because they just look at everything and every person in terms of how much money they can squeeze out of it. But in devotional family, devotional community, devotional temple, decisions have to be made on what pleases Krishna. And then your hope for prosperity is maximized, because karma and Krishna's will is complicated, but it's maximized. Because all prosperity depends on Krishna's satisfaction. And when he left, he didn't get anything. But he was satisfied. Because he valued that exchange with Krishna more than he could value anything that could enhance his own material situation. And he also thought, that at mercy, Krishna gave me nothing. Because to the extent that you lack purity is the extent that your material situation, purity, that purity and realization, good samskaras, good thoughts, good ideas about the purpose of life, to the extent that you lack that, is the extent that the wealth will increase your material consciousness. It will increase your attachment. It will increase your prestige. And therefore, Kunti prays, Janma Aishwar, Shruta Shri Bir, Edamana Madhapuman, Namahadyapan Taitumbai, Thomas. That Krishna, he doesn't come for someone who's intoxicated with high class birth. I am high class. I am wealthy. I am learned. I have so many degrees. I have so many women. Just a story to keep you on your toes. Sunday, when I was managing in Vrindavan for so many years, almost 20 years, and then in front of the building there were shops, and we needed to get them out, so it became a court case. And I had to go to the courts. And I believe Prabhupada said that so many lives are spoken in the courts of Mathura that they hang in the air as sinful activities and fall on the participants. It's just, so I would go down to those courts. Wild atmosphere. And I remember somehow the opposing lawyer had studied in England, so he was called the barrister. And the case, this may be a little bit, you'll see it's connected, but just the flavor of it. So I had this real funky Brijbasi account. And his testimony was the key to the case. So in those courts, the witness is in front of the judge, and then there's railings on each side, and the two lawyers are on either side of the railings. So that barrister started to question my Brijbasi accountant. And he really, on one sense, wasn't highly educated as an accountant, so he wanted to discredit him. So the English barrister, or trained barrister, said, how many degrees do you have? Right? So my accountant, his name is Mr. Kapoor, he also, Prabhupada made him the accountant. He said, Your Honor, may I ask the honorable lawyer a question? So the judge says, yes. So he asked the lawyer, well, how many degrees do you have? So then the lawyer said, I have a bachelor's of this and a master's of this and a law degree of this and a barrister and a PhD. And he went on. He said, and I have this degree and that degree and this degree and that degree. And then the judge said, are you ready to answer his question now? He said, so the judge says, well, how many degrees you have? and the Brijbasi accountant says, I have two more than him, and then flips his head to the side in defiance. So they increase. They can increase our, and therefore Krishna is, we have a relationship with Krishna, and he wants to please you, and he wants you to do well. He'll give you what you need. The concept we should have of Krishna is that Krishna is always looking at our heart. And our heart is selfless and pure. That gives him great pleasure, because that's what love is. And that's what our happiness is. So Krishna is very careful what he gives us in relationship to how it will affect our hearts. Very careful. So he thought, and of mercy Krishna gave me nothing. And he's also expressing that in this verse. That's his mercy, because Krishna is not a fool. He realizes that our happiness is our consciousness. And each person requires different things at different times to enhance their consciousness, have an opportunity to grow spiritually. So our life is a very personal relationship with God. It's a very personal relationship with God. And when he sees your insincerity, he may intervene in your life. He may intervene and do something to wake us up, to change our consciousness, to give us better attitudes. But actually, when he got back and he saw all his wealth, it's explained why Krishna gave him that wealth. And why didn't he give it to him before? Why did Krishna leave him as so destitute? And explains, because that was his desire. He had the samskaras, the nature of Gyan, to that extent, that he did not want that situation. He didn't want the world and opulence, maintenance even. He was very renounced. And when he saw that wealth, he understood, now this is Krishna's love too. And a response to that is he only wanted to serve him. He only wanted to serve him. And he saw Krishna as his friend. He was inspired because Krishna was personally dealing with him. Krishna's kind and Krishna's all powerful. If he's not kind, he won't help us. And if he's not powerful, he can't do it. Actually, God, Krishna, is offering us the greatest gift, the prema bhakti. He's offering us that gift, especially Mahaprabhu. Anarpita chrinim charat kuruneya vatir nakalo samarpya tamuna tojvala rasham shubhakti shriyam hari purita shundara. Anarpita chrinim charat. He's offering us this love. But we have to do our part. We have to be available for service. And we have to be open to change. And that takes detachment. You have to have faith. Available for service and open for change. What we need to understand God and soften our hearts for love may not coincide with the things that we're attached to. And therefore, in heart, we may not be ready to ask for prema. Because we may be fearful. What will this mean to my life? It's not that Krishna give me prema. And therefore that means that the world moves according to all our desires. But the world may be reordered in a way that takes away things that we are attached to and puts our things in our life that we don't like. So here it says, Siddhama is thinking, for the insight, for the devotee who lacks insight, Krishna may not grant him worldly opulence to the degree that he wants or she wants, because it would not be good for the devotee's consciousness. Text 38. Itam davasito bhujya bhakto tva janardane Vishayan janaya chakshan ubhubje natalam pita. Sukadeva Goswami continued, thus firmly fixing his determination, Bhubasayat, by his bhujya bhokta, by his spiritual intelligence, Sudama remained absolutely devoted to Lord Krishna, the shelter of all living beings. Free from avarice, he enjoyed together with his wife the sense pleasures that had been bestowed upon him always, with the idea of eventually renouncing all sense gratification. So he's given this by Krishna. He had no greed, but he utilized it and enjoyed it with the idea that there will be a time that I can give it up. But his intelligence was completely fixed in Krishna. And that means that his wealth and his sense pleasure was not an obstacle to his devotion. Because he was accepting it as Krishna's desire. Tasya vai deva devasya harer yajapate prabho Ramana prabhavo daivam latevyo vidyate param. Lord Hari is the god of all gods, the master of all sacrifices, and the supreme ruler. But he accepts the saintly Brahmins as his masters. And so there exists no deity higher than them. Purport, this is still Sudama. So he's appreciating Krishna's respect for the Brahmins. I've been listening to tapes recently in the morning, seeing that in 2 or 3 months, I'll be 63. And I should take precautionary measures about my health because my life is very, very sedentary. So generally, I wake up and I do chanting. And then about 6 o'clock now, I've been doing it now every day for 2-3 weeks, I take a power walk. And generally I listen to a tape of Prabhupada and just relish listening with absolute faith, listening to something that I know is absolutely true and relishing it, even if it's a simple point, relishing it. So Prabhupada was in Chicago and the mayor came to him, and this Lieutenant Mosey came to him, and they were very respectful. And Prabhupada was commenting on crime. He was commenting on crime, and he had basically 3 points. And Prabhupada's like a broken record, I mean, not in a bad way. But he's just same point. First point is, if you want to fight crime, you have to train some of the populace as first class people. You have to have exemplary leaders. That's the first thing. Not clowns. Prabhupada would just quote Bhagavad Gita, Shivo Damastapo Sauchyam Shantir Arjantam Avicha Jnanam Vijnanam Astika Brahmapam. Then a Brahmin cultivates certain qualities. Of course, Prabhupada was all saying, give me a building and we'll train people and we'll have kirtan and we'll have prasadam. And the fact the broadcasting of the holy name. It changes consciousness in people. But Krishna respects the Brahmins. He accepts them as his masters. Because they cultivate qualities that enable them to understand truth and disseminate truth. They give direction. And success is first based on direction. Even if you have good administrators, even if you have a good economic base, even if you have good supportive labor, without direction, nothing can be successful. And that's the most important person in society. The one who can give direction, the one who could give the appropriate advice, Hitto Pradesh, instructions that will do good. Of course, without that, then everything else becomes useless. Money becomes misused. Management becomes exploited. The mass of people becomes sinful. That was actually Prabhupada's mission. Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmani Chaya Chachikati Taya. The Brahmins and the cows are specifically dear to Krishna. Because economically and spiritually, they give relevance to the world. It's all direction. It's all instruction. I told that story many times that my father, in the language of the local culture, once paid me the highest compliment. He said, I have 3 sons, and you're the only one with his head screwed on right. And I was just thinking. And it's recognized in my family. It's just recognized among my family members. What's the difference? I came in contact with a Brahmin. Of course, a Vaishnava Brahmin. In this case, it also means Vaishnava. Said Karma Nipano Vipro Mantra Tantra Visharda A Vaishnavo Guru Nasyat Vaishnava Swapacho Guru. The teacher must be Vaishnava. So I came in contact with a Vaishnava. I got good instructions by someone who knew life. Pradyumna. My godbrother came in and saw me this morning. We had such a nice talk. And he was talking about, from the Yoga Sutras, the first verse, Anushasana. That the first verse. First verse of the first verse of the Yoga Sutras it says that the yoga teachings are anushasana. They are following teachings. And what that means, Guru Parampara, it means there is someone who is realize that is at the origin. And then it follows down in that way. And in the commentaries, one person uses the term under parampara. Under means blind. So if someone is not realized, not seeing, then he can't communicate the truth. And the example is blind. If someone is blind, they can't teach you about colors. They can't teach you about colors. So Krishna respects those who represent pure teachings, who cultivate the qualities that enable them to assimilate those teachings and cultivate the qualities that allow them to disseminate those teachings. I often tell the story when I was to take sannyas. And when in the sannyas lecture, Satsarup Maharaj said that our movement needs people whom others can trust and therefore avoid politics and business. So to invoke that trust whereby people can accept your teachings as having no motive, then one must be Shimo Damas, the Pao, Saucha, peaceful and tolerant and self-control. But seeing how the unconquerable Supreme Lord is nonetheless conquered by his own servants, the Lord's dear Brahmin friend felt the remaining knots of material attachment within his heart being cut by the force of this constant meditation on the Lord. In a short time, he attained Lord Krishna's supreme abode, the destination of great soul. Wonderful point here. Why he gave Sudama so much wealth. And Jiva Goswami explains that Sudama's last pride remained. Last illusion lay in the subtle pride of being a renounced Brahmin. So Krishna gave him so much wealth. Not to become detached from the wealth, but to become detached from the conception that I am greater than others because I am renounced. C.S. Lewis said something like that, one is never so proud as when one thinks one is good. So there's different levels of detachment. So Krishna is dealing with his devotee. And Sudama, it's just very, very subtle. I am renounced. That's why Prahlad Maharaj's prayer said you can have all 12 brahminical qualities, all these wonderful qualities, but not even be able to deliver yourself what to speak of others. If you become proud, the last symptom of Anishtita Bhakti. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives the different symptoms of Anishtita Bhakti. Bhakti, where your bhakti is broken. And he gives so many different qualities of pride and attachment. But the last one is the pitfall of bhakti, that one has devotion in their heart and then thinks they're better than others. The Lord always shows Brahmins special favor. Anyone who hears this account of the Supreme Lord's kindness to the Brahmins will develop love for the Lord and thus become freed from the bondage of material work. And for a point. Would anybody like to say hello? Can someone please tell me that they heard my class?
Thank you, Samara.
Thank you, Mara. Okay, how are you? Thank you. Anybody else like to say hello?
Thank you, Samara.
I heard Mother Indrani. Who else?
Yes,
this is your servant. Okay. Who else?
Nanda Dulal.
Okay. Hare Krishna, Nanda Dulal. Thank you.
Maharaj, I have two.
Anybody else?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna, that's, let me see.
Kalachanji.
Kalachanji and, Shradhanjali. And Vagavati. Wow, so many people out today. Wonderful. Because I'm in the Bhakti Center, I have to give class, so I don't really have time for questions today.
Sorry.
Yeah, that because I just saw people are calling me that are here. Anybody else like to say hello?
Haribol Maharaj, Chaitanya Priya.
Hare Krishna, Chaitanya Priya.
Hare Krishna.
Okay.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Hare Krishna Maharaj. See you soon.
Who is that?
This is Gail.
Gail. Hare Krishna, Gail. Thank you. Anybody else? Okay. I have to see people now. Well, thank you all. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.